Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Games Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, aka the future class of video games, aka the OK Beast Blessing. Eddie Oye Jr.
It's nice being the only Forbes 30 Under 30 member on this podcast.
If you want my personal take, since you won the award, you're the only Forbes 30 Under 30 winner in the company.
Damn, we're just gonna do him like that? We're just gonna have some Tim Erasure go down? All right, I'm down.
And that's the thing, is we're not even gonna say his name. All right,
I'll take it back.
He's gone. Two
weeks,
he's
over 30, so I don't think he should qualify anymore.
He's really busy doing a lot of very important things.
Of course, that man being the wet blanket that he always is the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Street Latino. He clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globetrotting, headshotting, rooting, tooting nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Oh, fuck. Wrong sound effect. Jesus Christ. Sorry, this keyboard was set to the applause instead of. Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
More Zelda stuff. That's nice. Show me the keyboard, because I thought you just hit a button before. I didn't realize you were playing for a while. This is nice. When did you get this? Did you dig this out from under your desk? Have you had it a long time?
No.
Was this behind the chili?
This is something I got recently. The other one I had, I fell from a tree.
Damn, why are you puffing a tree playing with it? That's crazy.
No, the other one I had, it's like a USB one, but I hate it. It's all bullshit software. This one just has built-in sounds.
Sure.
And I'm really excited about it. So the goal is, Greg, I got a looper, a little $100 looper called Zoom Looper. Bad movie. I mean, definitely not as good as Arrival. Everybody knows that. But the Zoom pedal, it's got a bunch of guitar sounds. And so I'm hoping to get this into the Zoom pedal so I could be like, boop, boop, bah, boop, 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 bah, hit the loop. And then the beat's going to keep going. And then I could play guitar over it with piano. I'm really excited about the future.
What's the name of that dude that we all love?
Mark Rivoli.
So you're gonna be like Mark Ruby. I love his stuff.
Are you just gonna do like way worse? Because he's like a jazz pianist, like master. I don't got it like that. I only know keys back from when I played like xylophone and percussion, and I played marimba and percussion back in the day. But like, you gave xylophones and marimbas to the people that weren't as skilled. Like, come on, I was ranked 7 in the whole Rio Grande Valley. You know what I mean? Because I was a fucking snare master. God, I think I was Nick Cannon out there.
Wait, I'm sorry. You would give marimbas to people who weren't as skilled?
Yeah, you give it to the people that, like, aren't super rhythmically good. It's more for the people, like, no offense, Barrett, it's like the people you put in the outfield in the league, you know what I mean?
Like, marimbas, was one of, when I was in band, that was, like, one of the main instruments you wanted to be on, because there were so many cool things. Oh, you guys weren't playing the right kind of music then.
Nah.
Damn.
Fair enough.
I was ranked 7 in the Valley. But,
Andy, quick, can you learn the Frasier theme song?
I don't know, but Nick did ask me to learn this, which I may try to play right here. Hold on. No, hold on. Right, it's that.
You're trying to be Beverly Hills Cop.
He asked me to learn it. I was close, but I didn't really do a good job.
Real quick, Joey, you'll get a full introduction in a second, but I need your help, okay? Uh-huh. It's because there's just two choices on the board.
Okay.
Clear your head. Don't everybody think too hard. Blessing, Joey, you're going to have to be on this, all right? Is Looper a bad movie or a great movie, Joey?
It's fine.
Oh, I think I'm saying bad movie?
It's fine.
Okay, and then Bless.
Never seen Looper.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then we're at a stalemate, because in those two choices, I would have gone with Barrett, a great movie. I like Looper. I had fun.
I think it's fine. It's just not as good as Arrival. I mean, think about how amazing Arrival was. I think,
well, Arrival is like a work of art. What do you want?
Exactly.
I mean,
it's like a work of art.
Shotguns and Bruce Willis, but like Joseph Gordon-Levitt like with the big nose.
But like the ending is like antithetical to the rest of the movie, you know?
Of Arrival?
Arrival's a movie for people who like to think they're smart.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thank got you, it Joey. All figured out.
Thank you,
Joey. All right, Joey, go watch Grease 2. Go fucking watch Batman and Robin.
And that woman who likes Batman and Robin in Grease 2 is none other than Christmas in September. It's Joey Noel. Hello, Joey.
Hello. You guys have very long intros, which I didn't realize until I had to sit through both of them back to back.
You mean just like their titles in the front?
Yeah. You got a lot going on with those.
Well, you know, everybody here keeps getting awards and Andy keeps writing his own thing and putting new stuff in there. Everybody else keeps hitting new accolades and Andy keeps just saying, add this to my thing.
Did you include the Disney Prince thing into mine? Because that's the thing now. I'm a Disney Prince. Now
that I haven't heard that. No, I apologize.
Yeah. So you should address me.
When did that get added? I haven't heard anybody say that to you.
It was probably the day after they announced.
Are you introducing yourself that on Gamescast or on Games Daily?
I think Tim Geddes might have introduced me as that on.
It was
on
chat came up with it the day that Blessing hosted the D23 Games panel.
I just feel like that was weeks ago, and I've introduced Blessing several times since then.
It's like once you become a Disney Prince, you don't just stop becoming a Disney Prince though, Greg. You know?
I hear you, but I just feel like that's something you have to like start, you know, tacking on there. It has to be going. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to start, when we get to the new studio, I will be introduced when I'm on shows as WWE Superstar Greg Miller.
I trust you more as a host to, like, you know, just start adding in the accolades that I get. I didn't know how to remind you every single time.
It's just, here's the thing, Blessing. It's going to sound like a negative, Bless, but it's a positive, right? Is that, like, why would I give you these fake accolades when you keep winning real ones? Doesn't that, I think, by all of a sudden calling you a Disney Prince, like, that's the shit we make up for Andy. That's the shit we have to make. Like, that, you know, it's the one we give Nick the participation trophy. You know what I mean?
It's correlated to a real accolade. Because you could call me, you know, the host of D23.
I feel like that's
the job you did.
You know what
I mean? Disney Prince does roll off the tongue, right? And it's a little bit more humble as opposed to, like, you know, host of the Disney and Marvel game showcase. Blessing at AOH. Because, like, come on.
I mean, we're saying there's you're only royalty. I don't know how much humble it is.
But there's a lot of princes. Like, he's one of many versus...
Listen, but wouldn't it kind of be, like... sad, you know, like if we were still holding on to that accolade, you know, for so long for you,
as opposed to, you know, for so long, gamer of the year.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of funny games cast each and every week. We come together to talk about all the video games we love and sometimes don't love. If you love that, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad free. You can get the exclusive post show we do each and every week, and it's Kind of Feudy. That's right, Blessings, Bless Who spinoff Kind of Feudy. We're doing another one today. You got to come see it over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. What are you doing, Andy?
I don't like this.
I'm playing on my Steam Deck. I'm playing on my fucking Steam Deck. Oh, shit.
Damn, dude. I was like, what is going on right now?
Because it's like you're mocking the rest of us, but you also have a Steam Deck, Andy.
And you really like your Steam Deck.
You could also, of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames watch live like Brian is, Jameson is, and Louise are. If you're watching live, no, you don't have to keep us, you know, no right or wrong on any of this. Just chime in the thing, let us know, and then we can read your comments here, and then you're part of the show. Blessing, you want to be part of the show right now. What's up?
Andy, I didn't realize I had a Steam Deck. Have you gone through the process of putting legal games on it?
Games? No, Barrett has a hard drive of games that we're gonna get to.
Because I told Joey the other day, because Joey also got a Steam Deck, that I will be holding a session when we're all back in the office. Ooh. Where, you know, my station will be open. You can bring your Steam Deck to me, and I'll help you put some games on there.
I thought you were gonna like be at a podium, like you were getting a conference. Like we all flew out to your conference to learn how to put games.
Steam Deck conference.
Blessing hosting a symposium.
Holding a panel.
Honestly, that's not a bad idea though.
That's a great idea.
We could just record that as a standalone video where we're all like in an audience. So like all like it's like a. I mean, it's in the studio, but it looks like we're like in a Hotel Marriott conference room, and Blessing just comes out with like a PowerPoint on how to do all this stupid stuff, and we put that up.
I'm down.
Did you guys always joke? Like, is it illegal? Like, I don't know, because I talk about it all the time. I got this N64 here. I got this thing.
You know what's legal? You know what's legal? I found some ROMs on my computer. How about that? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. All I know is that all the games that I play on my Steam Deck are games that I might have owned or not owned or probably owned. I own them and I dumped them into a thing. And it's not illegal to do is to like to dump the ROMs that you already own into a thing and then play them. What's illegal?
Listen, officer.
Hold on, I want to know what's illegal for Blessing.
I believe making an emulator and like not having the BIOS. I think the emulator part is legal. I think it's the BIOS part that's illegal.
Act of, you know, downloading ROMs. Maybe that's the part that's illegal. Maybe that's
officer,
the act.
I swear those aren't mine. I was holding those ROMs for a friend. A man broke into my house, got on my computer, installed a bunch of video games. That was his only objective. It was weird.
In the chat, Luis says, ROMs are okay as long as you own the game. And I own Ghostbusters on Sega Master System, my own N64 and WWF No Mercy, so I'm fine.
And plus, the idea sometimes you just can't buy these games anymore, and or the only way to get them is like buy a Wii U. Like, nah.
Yeah, oh, God, please. Is Activision still making
that
money?
That should be illegal. Buying a Wii U in 2022 should be illegal.
100%. But I also, agree. There's the fact is Activision still making money?
I'm sorry, stop you right there, too, Blessing. I think we'll all agree on this panel. We have a gun control problem as well, right? A great way to test out banning assault rifles and how we turn them in is if we just ban Wii U's and have people have to turn in their Wii U's and be like, this could be the beta for banning assault
the
rifles.
The buyback
right?
Wii U system.
It's our Wii U buyback program.
Cash for clunkers.
We apologize if you bought this thing. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ, Nintendo, throw us a bone. If you, ladies and gentlemen, don't want to throw us a bone on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, of course, you can get each and every episode of the Gamescast for free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Of course, you'd have to listen to the ads. You want to be able to write in. You're going to be a Patreon producer. You want to get the post show. You want to be able to watch live. Frankly, it would be bad. All right, it would be a bad time for you, but if it's what you got to do, no big deal. If you want to go the extra mile, use the creator code KINDOFUNNY on the Epic Game Store when maybe you're downloading Fortnite, when you're buying something in Rumbleverse on your Xbox, or when you're doing whatever on your PlayStation in Rocket League. No matter where you're using something that uses an Epic Game Store, you can plug it in and help us out, and that'd be great. Speaking of helping us out and being great, housekeeping for you, guess what? It's time loop right now, kind of one of those looper. If you're listening to this as it pops, it's a Thursday morning. You're yawning. You're pouring your coffee. Like, you know, sometimes out on the, you know, no, you know, even on the East Coast, it's 9 a.m. right now when this pops. It's still early. You got your coffee. You're, what am I going to do today? We're doing a Kind of Funny Town Hall, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, 11 a.m. Pacific. It's me. It's Tim. It's Joey. It's us running you through the changes we're making to programming and Patreon and all the stuff as we build up to, of course, the launch of the Spare Bedroom, Kind of Funny Studios, on October 14th with a marathon stream. So go to Twitch if you're able to live on Thursday, and if not, the archive and stuff will be up, and you can go watch it elsewhere, and there'll be a video with all the stuff recapping and yada, 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 yada. Right, Joe?
Right. I watched the first version of the video, that may be the final version of the video. It's great.
I mean, when Roger's editing, you know it's going to be a home run. You know, you don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, Delaney Twining, Holy Crumpets, James Hastings and Andrew, or I'm sorry, Casey Andrew, in the yellow pages, and that's how I think. Blessing, when I see
the yellow pages. Yellow pages. How old are you?
It would have been.
They don't even send them out anymore.
Andrew, Casey, thank God, I hated the fucking yellow pages. If I'm being honest, why? I want you to offer no reason whatsoever. I just got an adrenaline spike when I cursed. Like, I literally thought, am I allowed to curse on this show? I've been doing Kind of Funny for 8 fucking years. I curse on everything.
Well, you're still in the Rick and Roll, I feel like. And so it's like, oh, am I about to say an ad sponsorship? Like, I feel like it's that kind of thing.
Sure,
but also,
sure.
Isn't that wild that, like, maybe Greg, you have to clear this up, what the deal was with the yellow pages, because I was a youngin'. But, like, that was just a book that we all had at our houses that had everybody's phone number in it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of messed up, isn't it?
No, the yellow pages was, like, for businesses, right?
That's the white pages, right?
I grew up with them being combined, where you had white pages and yellow pages in one big thing. Same. In the Burbs of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, yellow pages were commercial, white pages were domestic.
Residential?
Residential, that's it, right? Thank you very much, yeah.
Because the commercial makes sense, obviously, but the residential, I don't want people just having my phone number.
It was weird. You could request to be unlisted, but I'm sure they fucked that up all the time.
I always thought it was cool when mine was in there. It felt, oh, it's me. It's us.
Yeah.
I've told the story before, but I know every day we get brand new listeners around here, and I don't know if I did it on Gamescast, but
they're gone
one of
by
the
now.
Most exciting moments, and then one of the most depressing moments, was when the internet was a hot and happening thing, and I forget what we did, but we, I guess, sent away, or mom clicked on a button on AOL to get the internet yellow pages sent to us, and I thought we were going to be in it. Like, I thought you would have all the screen names and email addresses. It'd be like Greg Miller, because I had my own email address. I thought Greg Miller, you know, Superboy 27 or 09 or whatever it was, at AOL.com. When I got it was just so ads. Funny. I was so pissed off. I digress. You know what ads I do like? Today's sponsors, it's going to be NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors and Uplift. But we'll tell you about that later. For now, everyone's going to step into their time machine. We're going to go back roughly 1 month. To August 23rd, 2022. It's a day that'll live in infamy. At 6:20 p.m. Pacific time, Andy, on the Kind of Funny Slack, Joey Noel said, what are the odds we could get codes for all the current Destiny expansions if I wanted to get ready for the new stuff in February? This then set off a firestorm of commenters there, including Blessing Adeoye Jr., of course, the Disney Prince.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Paris Lilly, the Jackal, and all these other people who wanted to play Destiny and get back into Destiny.
That was his
this big old brouhaha of people who wanted to play Destiny 2 once again. As with most kind of funny ideas, I looked at it and said, that's a great idea. They'll never actually do it. And lo and behold, even today, on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, there's Andy, there's Snowbike Mike, there's Nick Scarpino playing Destiny 2. Joey's out there running. I was like, well, Joey's falling off. Andy's like, no, I'm playing with Joey. This is happening over there, blah, blah, blah. Let's start here, Joey.
Yeah.
Put me in to your headspace on August 23rd at 6:19, right before you sent the Slack. What are you thinking about Destiny? What has happened to spark this interest from you? And then I guess also, what is your history here with Destiny? Because today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is just should you start Destiny 2 in 2022? Because so many of you have come back to it.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was exactly that day or if my brain is just Swiss cheese and I thought about it earlier in the week and then I remembered.
Sure.
Something big had happened with Destiny. I feel like they maybe announced the next expansion.
A trailer for the big new expansion. Thank you. I believe Bungie had a showcase.
Perfect. That's what it is. So my timeline that day, a buzz, people talking about Destiny. This is a game that I've thought about multiple times jumping into over the last, 5 years that it's been out. Sure. I feel like it happens every once in a while where maybe I should play The Division. Is anybody
so a quick timeout? You've never played any Destiny 2.
Never played any Destiny. Zero Destiny. Absolutely okay. Zero. But my girl group of people, I think I'm the only one that hasn't. Me and Lauren, I think, are the only two that haven't played Destiny. So that's how the rest of the group met. So they've been popping in and out. So I hit up that girl group and I was like, if I wanted to play Destiny, how many of you are still playing? Does anybody want to jump back in? And everyone was like, oh no, are we going to do this? And somehow everyone was like, yeah, we are. So that's when I asked for codes. I did not expect a response from anybody on the team. I thought for sure I was going to be the only one. Everyone's like, that's kind of random. But I was pleasantly surprised. I'm shocked that people are still playing, to be honest. I thought we would have lost Mike. I thought we would have lost Nick. Andy, been driving that train, not letting anybody get off. I appreciate it.
We would have lost Nick and Mike if I wasn't the one pushing for this. Mike just gets very it's mindless. It's just fucking just shooting stuff. And the frustration sets in very early with he and
that's
Nick.
That's every game he plays, though.
I know.
But Destiny is so overly complicated that I feel like I have to work really hard to want to play the game in a way that I don't feel like I've ever had to do before.
But it's been a month and you still are playing the game, Joe.
I am.
I guess that's the question is, should you start Destiny in 2022? You've jumped in and it is working out, but why is it working out? What spoke to you this time to actually push you over the edge? Was it just how cool the content looked and then having this group?
It's both of those things. I also think that in the last, probably since during COVID, I've played way more shooters than I've ever played before in my life. And so now it's like, ooh, this is fun versus I think I kind of used to think they were boring. I'm not playing Joey's out there keyboard, so I don't.
Oh, no.
I wish I looked that cool. No, even when I play on
Joey's, PC, Joey's on her fucking Steam Deck.
Man, can I tell you, trying to get it to work on Steam Deck has been a challenge. And truly, right now, the best way to play it is on Stadia, which is not great. I know. But it's because they have all their anti-cheat stuff that you can't download.
Same thing happened for Rumbleverse,
So I will say that I have had to put in more work, more Googling of the dumbest things to be able to play this game. Not to mention because I haven't had any history with Destiny, even when I'm trying to do seasonal stuff, because I've been trying to run story stuff with the same fire team. I get locked out of so much because it's like, you need to go to Europa, but I haven't unlocked Europa because I haven't played Beyond Light or whatever the fuck that expansion is called and
we
stuff
did
like that.
The other day, though.
Yeah, we did. But then it's a lot of even fun. Figuring out that's the reason why I can't go to that planet is a lot of Reddit threads that I'm having.
Andy Cortez.
Here's the thing, Joe. It reminds me a lot of perhaps playing through a game, playing through a Souls game when you have Twitch chat makes the experience easier because they are guiding you. They're softly. They're putting their hand on the small of your back, and they're saying, "Hey, young one, go this direction.
With consent, Greg. With consent.
I was gonna say, how about we go to shoulder blades there? All right.
No, nah, I like the smaller third back. Date. It's comforting. It feels good. But they're saying like they're nudging you towards a direction, and like I think Bless can attest to this too when he played through Bloodborne on his stream as well. Like when you have Imran kind of not backseating you, when you have Tam and Chad and other people kind of saying like, "Hey, go this way, do this," you know, I think it makes the experience smoother for sure and less frustrating. And I don't know how I'd really be how I'd be experiencing Destiny. I probably would have given up on it had I not had Chris Anka there for a lot of those streams, had Joey not popped in to help out with some stuff. Obviously, Twitch chat is helpful, but problem with listening to Twitch chat is like seven people have 18 different things they want to say, so it's like hard to kind of focus on one. But Chris Anka was helping out immensely in our experience with Destiny, and I think that the question you're asking, Greg, is I think is a bit more complicated because, yes, I think you should hop into Destiny 2022. I'm having an absolute blast. I feel like the guy just coming in super late to this gigantic fan of being like, yo, this Destiny shit's fucking lit, dude. Like, these environments are incredible. These levels are great. And they're like, yeah, man, we've been saying that for years. And
have you ever heard of Iron Man? Like,
like, obviously, I played through the Destiny 2, the first vault, and I was really big into Destiny 1, or not the first vault, but the Vault of Glass, the first raid was in Destiny 1. And then for Destiny 2, the first raid was the one with that big golden fucking guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I ran through that, and that was an absolute blast. And then I fell off like I usually do. But I think one thing that kind of helped me want to get back into this is knowing that it's a multiplayer experience for me, Nick, and Mike to play on stream, and they are a bit more insular. I knew I didn't want to go on stream and say, let's just run around and find shit to do. You're never going to get anywhere with that. No, that's not going to be fun. That's not going to work with them. We have to be tunnel visioned, focused on a mission. So let's find, when we had Chris helping me and Joey say like, oh, you all can run the
Strike?
Beyond Light. The Beyond Light campaign, that which was like two expansions ago. They had me, Nick, and Mike running through the Witch Queen campaign. And having direction like that, extremely helpful. However, not everybody's going to have that. So I would suggest looking for tutorials. Maybe there's like a how to play Destiny in 2022, because having help definitely was incredibly important for me to want to keep on going, because I'm having a blast with it, but I'd be super lost, and I'm still super lost at times, even with help. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know, for this episode, I reached out to the audience and said, hey, come over to the Patreon page, chime in and give both your advice on starting Destiny or jumping back into Destiny, and then also what's keeping you away if you're on the other side of the coin. And overwhelmingly, first off, I don't know if you guys know this, Destiny, very popular. A lot of people wrote in.
I was shocked at how many like very, very active groups of people are still playing Destiny, because I had no idea. It was very off my radar.
And we had gotten, and I know that Destiny's popular. Obviously, I know people like Steve Saylor, like we already brought up Paris. Like, I know that our friends play and stuff like that. But in terms of our audience, the amount of people who wrote in, and I mean, like, I would go, I don't even think, I'll be conservative and say 75% of responses, but maybe 80 were like, have friends, play with friends. That was such a key component of it, of how to learn. But then there were other ones I thought that were helpful too. If you're thinking of starting at home, ladies and gentlemen, Trey Daniels wrote in and said, start slow. There are a lot of systems and it takes time to get used to them. I recommend playing some seasonal content since that's fresh. Lots of people are playing it, so you can easily join others and learn what to do. Then once you're getting the basics down, jump into a campaign. Witch Queen or Beyond Light are good starting places to experience great missions and useful loot. Similarly, Mr. Evil 37 said, focus on Beyond Light and the Witch Queen campaigns. If you enjoy those, then try to dip your toes into the wider content like the seasonal storyline. Ideally with a friend or two to guide you through and advise you on what's worth doing, what good is good gear, etc. The new / returning player experience isn't great, but once you're up to speed and back into it, it's outstanding. Andy, you've given your thoughts here at the top level, but I don't know your background. Talk to me about coming back to Destiny. You didn't come in fresh like Joey. You had played before, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, I was addicted to Destiny 1. I was like hours and hours. I've told this story before, but that was when I first got my first game development job, and we had very flexible hours. So my schedule, I made it 7 in the morning until 4 p.m., and what I would do is I would get home and I would sleep until 1 in the morning, maybe. As soon as I'd get home from work, I'd sleep until midnight or 1, and I would play from midnight or 1 until I had to go to work at 7 a.m. It was fucked up. That's how addicted I was.
It was fucked up.
It was really fucked up, but I was like, I loved it.
The only time I think I've ever gotten to like an argument with Andy is when friends of ours at the time, when Destiny 2 came out, we ran the raid without him. And he was bitter about it for sure.
and that was Destiny 2. And I did a lot of content in Destiny 1. I came back for Destiny 2. We did the raid there, and then I hopped back in when it went free to play on PC just to kind of see how it looks. And it's like, all right, I'm playing keyboard mouse now. How does this game kind of feel several years later? And I know they went through a bit of an engine overhaul in the last couple of years, and I'm still so stunned at how amazingly good looking this game is. It is so much prettier than I'd ever would have expected, given its age, right? You just expect Destiny 2 came out in what, 2017, 2018?
2017. September 2017. Destiny 1 was September 2014.
And yeah, it's just, you know, here we are 5 years later, and running through a lot of the more recent content, you walk into these environmental spaces and it's like, God, dude, this art team is just popping off. Every corner you turn is a beautiful just painting. So I'm really just super into art, and they're killing it there. So that kind of has me interested. But yeah, being back in it, it's just, you kind of immediately feel those Destiny hooks getting back in you. And the gameplay is so fun, and it isn't just sort of mindless shooting like I feel like it was back in the day. I feel like a lot of these missions are given a lot more thought, and they have a bit more structure with giving roles. Even, you know, the way it always felt back in the day was the raids were really the only piece of the content. And I know people will probably gonna disagree and say that I'm wrong and stuff, but like, to me, back in the day, it felt like the whole game is just shooting a bunch of shit, and then when you get to the raid, that's where all the complexity sort of enters the fray.
That definitely would be my interpretation of it as well. I popped in and I watched you guys play today, and I thought maybe you were doing a raid because you were calling out, I'm light, he's dark, yada yada. Right. And as somebody, I, you know, my Destiny 1 experience was playing for a while. I forget how that ever ends, but Destiny 2, I went through, played a lot with the What's Good Guardians, did some stuff with the Kind of Funny crew, ended up platinuming it. So I did the first raid and everything else, and I turned it off and never ever really came back. And so, like, when I saw you guys doing today, I was like, oh, is this raid content? And then I was watching it. It wasn't. There is actually that idea now.
Yeah, there's a lot more sort of mechanics being put into the game that aren't just necessarily exclusive to the raids, which I think is awesome as hell. It's a lot more engaging. It's a lot more fun. And you also don't feel like, well, shit, I'm the guy who's having to run the items. That means I'm never going to shoot. This is boring. Yep. I feel like they kind of balance out the experience pretty well. And for me, Mike, and Nick playing today, this dungeon, which is what we're playing, because they have not only the strikes, but they have these dungeons, which are kind of just mini raids, which are 3-person experiences as opposed to 6 people. It was just so much fun. And I think the Bungie team is obviously like, they've had hardcore fans for so long for a reason, because they are putting out a product that's continuing to deliver. And I know every once in a while they'll put out an expansion the community isn't happy about, but I feel like everything that I've played of Destiny 2 so far in the last month or so has been top notch. I haven't felt bored or disengaged by any of it. I don't know if Joey kind of feels the same. I'm having an absolute blast with it. It's still very, very complicated, and holy fuck, the amount of currencies and items and NPCs need to talk to.
So many shards.
It's still a pain in the ass, don't get me wrong, but there is a... I feel like if... I think the question I always had with Destiny was like, I don't know what I don't know. That was always my great problem. Point. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking for. Therefore, like, I don't even know step one, you know, you're telling me to get to step 4 and 5, but I don't even know where to start step one at. So once you kind of get into that flow of click this mission and then you finish that, then that mission is going to stay on this screen, and just getting used to the menus. Even now I'm opening menus that I don't recognize and I'm kind of scared by, but getting into the flow of like, here's my destinations, here's my quests. And I'm trying to just only track that one. Don't click a fuckload. Like, just track the one you need, and you'll kind of find a flow with it.
Now, yeah, it's a lot.
Speaking of flow, Flowy Noel, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. I totally second everything Andy's saying of like being able to play with people. The What's Good Guardians have been great. They've run me through a bunch of stuff. Special shout out to the Destiny, kind of funny, Destiny 2 PC clan. They're like really great, super welcoming. And that's another thing. Everybody I've talked to that like continuously plays Destiny has been like super very nice. Welcoming, like very eager to like help you learn and run things through.
Real quick, Zabra had written in on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and his advice was talk to @Borzen about joining the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 clan. If you haven't already, their Discord is very helpful.
Discord is super helpful. They have, or they use this cool thing called, I think it's the 100, which is a way for you to like sign up for different raids without having to do the like annoying, like who's available now. It's like, here's the time. Here are all the people. There's two alternates. Here's all the screen names. It's like a really great and easy way. And you can decide like, hey, like this is my first time. So I need people to help me run through this versus like, hey, we want to do like this master legendary, whatever the fuck it's called, level thing. So you like, kind of know what to pop in for and what you're getting yourself into. Very helpful, very cool. I haven't done any of it, but I keep looking at it. I'm just scared to do a raid. So shout out to them.
Today, Chad,
you can find Borzen @Borzen on Twitter, Borzen.
Today, Chad decided that meme Nick and Mike are not ready for a raid. but the mission we were doing was like kind of tough, and we were so close to beating it. And then at one point, Nick's wife D walked in the room and started talking to him, and we're like, "Oh, Nick's busy. Fuck. I'm down." And then Mike was like, "I'm down." And we're like, well, we got to start over. And Nick was like, I have to get on a call, dude. I cannot do this right now. So we had to quit out on that mission. But
the Achilles heel of any kind of raid-like content, yeah. Right? Where it is like you're in it for an hour. I mean, and I talked about this was always the thing for Destiny 2 is I remember doing, and I always, it's the Destiny 2 raid, the first one, the guy with the cup, the big cup guy that we fought.
Chalice.
But what's the name of the raid?
Leviathan raid.
Leviathan.
There you go.
And I remember I remember failing at that with Andrea and a mix of Kind of Funny and What's Good Guardians. And I remember failing at it for hours. And at the end of it, like, you know, I feel like we put like 5 hours in or whatever one night. And I was talking to Jenna about it the next day. I'm like, yeah, we kept failing, but it was fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you felt like you were making progress. You're switching up strategies, trying to figure out how you want to go do it.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The one thing I want to pull into this conversation, of course, is that, as I said, August 23rd, 6:20 p.m. Pacific time. The world shifts, the axis tilts. Then August 23rd at 6:21 p.m. Pacific time, 1 minute after Joey sent her Slack, Blessing responds with the eye emoji and says, "Joester, you trying to run some Destiny? But Blessing, what happened to you? Where are you at? Where's your Destiny journey?"
So I played it for like probably like 5 to 10-ish hours. I hopped in with some friends. One of those friends being, I think, Kayla, who is now at Bungie, but I think does play with the What's Good clan as well. And it's that thing that you guys are describing in terms of the wealth of the content and the embarrassment of riches that you have in Destiny 2. It's similar to what we talk about when we talk about GTA Online, where I'm somebody who I pop into GTA Online constantly, so I kind of always know the things I want to do and how to do them, and like I don't really have the problem that newcomers have coming in. Destiny 2, I am the newcomer, where I come in and I'm like, ah, shit, it's been 5 years since I played this game, right? And my story is similar to you, Greg, and you, Andy, where, you know, at launch for Destiny 2, I played the hell out of Destiny 2. I played, when I checked my Xbox hours, it said I played like 80 hours. And honestly, that's probably somewhere around correct, because I did the base campaign. I did a bunch of missions. I did the raid. And the raid itself, you know, talking about how many times you go back to do it, and it's still always fun. I probably spent maybe at least 15 hours, maybe 20 hours, on just that raid, because I would go back, coordinate a time with friends, and then we would get to the final boss, and like we wouldn't finish it, and then we'd run it again, and then we wouldn't finish it, and then we like it was that thing of all my pockets of friends somehow finished the raid except for me. So I'm like begging people, yo, please, like somebody get me just to the end of this raid. We're almost there. I've like leveled up and ready to do this, and then eventually finally we're able to do it. And funny enough, when I checked my trophy list. Because I had played on Xbox originally because most of my friends were playing on Xbox. When I migrated my save a couple of years ago, when they made cross-save a thing, it popped all the trophies on PlayStation. And when I went back a few weeks ago when we talked about getting the codes and stuff, I looked at my trophy list and I was like, yo, I'm literally 3 trophies away from the platinum. And two of the trophies is just running through the campaign as the other classes that I wasn't playing as, because I play as a hunter. And then the other trophy was doing like the legendary version of whatever like the specific strike mission was. I can't remember the exact wording of it.
Do you got the stuff for that though, Bless? Do you got the stuff?
Now, apparently not. Like right now, because I was like, oh, I'll knock that out right now. That I looked at the leveling and they were like, oh, you have to have this much light. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I had that much at launch. And I think they're along the line. I think rebalancing happened, or like with new expansions, maybe they kick your level down. I think something like that happened to where I was just not able to do that thing. But I made that my goal. I was like, okay, now I want to get to that number so I can run that strike and then hopefully unlock that trophy so I can get the platinum. And on the way to doing that, it started off as me having Kayla show me like, all right, what are the campaigns I need to do? She was like, hey, let's start off with Beyond Light because Beyond Light will get you this cool ability. Started Beyond Light, and I was having the same thing that Annie was having in terms of, oh man, Destiny is a beautiful game. Oh man, how fun is Destiny to play, right? And like, that was one of the things that brought me back originally after seeing that new trailer for the expansion coming next year, is the fact that I get nostalgic for Destiny now, where whenever I think about Destiny, I think about the raids and I think about how good the gunplay is. And I'm like, oh man, I want to jump back into it. But then I start jumping back into it and I'm like, oh man, I don't understand shit about what's going on in this story. I need an adult. And so like I started Beyond Light, and then like shortly in, Kayla's like, actually, maybe we should do Witch Queen. I feel like Witch Queen would be a better starting place. But then like we signed off for the night, and then I drag in my other friend Yami, who doesn't play Destiny, into it, and we started playing the Witch Queen campaign. And it was the same thing of me being like, I don't understand what our beef is with Sabathun. Like, Sabathun hasn't done anything wrong to me yet. Like, all Sabathun did was show up and all of a sudden we're storming their ship. And we did that for the first couple of missions, and I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to play Crucible. Because I really dug Crucible at the launch of Destiny. And funny enough, I think Crucible is one of those things that a lot of the Destiny community doesn't fuck with because the balancing is off. And I think like network code.
Which one's
like
Crucible and which one's Gambit? I always get them confused.
Crucible is PvP. So you're doing like the 4v4 stuff. Whereas Gambit
is this,
I think,
the capturing the points, or
Gambit
is this
PvE, PvP?
The motes.
So Gambit is more, there's ads and there's like enemies that you're fighting that aren't player controlled, but I think you're essentially doing PvE VP, whereas Crucible is just straight up PvP, 4v4, capture,
or
survival.
Kill or whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
Gambit is the mode they introduced, I believe, somewhere near the start of Destiny 2, maybe right at the beginning, but that's the one, Joe, where you can see the other team also
on the other side
doing their shit, and then you can
clearly
send
I'm not
an invader
playing
over there.
Anything that's PvP.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And like, me and Yami hopped into PvP because I started getting nostalgic for it, because I fucking love the PvP at launch. And hopping back in, I was like, oh man, I'm still really enjoying this PvP. Like, again, a lot of the Destiny community, I from what I gathered, doesn't fuck with it that much, but I do. And so I was doing that as a way to hopefully get my gear up and then go and do that strike that I want to do to get the platinum, and then maybe work my way through the Witch Queen campaign and the other campaign. But just somewhere along the line, I was just like, I'm good. And then I started seeing like, what I wanted to do was play with like either Joey or play with Andy and them, but it was always during the stream, and I'd be busy during the stream, either doing KFGD or doing like some other PS Love You or whatever other stuff. And so it's the thing of the stars didn't line up for me of getting into Destiny with people. And it's the thing of, I'd also don't want to play by myself, just because like it's the thing we're talking about, where there's so much to learn and so much information to kind of sift through to figure out what you want to do. And so I'm like over here kind of on an island by myself being like, maybe I won't do it. Maybe I'll just continue playing Inscription or God of War. And also those God of War to play. But playing other things as well.
Blessing and I have had so many ships passing in the night moments with Destiny of like, we'll talk about it and I'll look at my phone and like hours before Blessing's like, are you actually playing Destiny tonight? And I'm like, oh, fuck, sorry. And clearly I was, and I just haven't looked at my phone in 3 hours. My bad.
There was one where like, I think I texted Joey and I was like, hey, do you want to chop on Destiny? And I didn't know when Joey was waking up. But then I look on my PlayStation and I see like some of the What's Good crew playing. And I was like, okay.
I'm too late.
Yeah, I was like, either they're playing with Joey or they're playing like by themselves. And if they're playing by themselves, they're doing some high level shit that I can't even, you know, get involved with. But I was like, oh man, do I double text Joey? I'll just leave it alone. But yeah, we keep having the ships pass the night.
I will say that having a 3-person fire team is wildly inconvenient because everything
else...
always
getting left out.
100%. Three's a really inconvenient number.
For sure. Yeah, that's been my thing where, you know, even today when I popped on the stream just to horse around for a little bit, like Andy and I have talked off stream and in meetings about, you know, oh, maybe I should get in there too, or try to kick the tires on it. And then Nick was asking me about it again too. And it's like, I respect Destiny so much. I had so much fun with Destiny for the Platinum for Destiny 2, but it's just one of those things that I look at the mountain to climb back up to get into content that I could play with other people, let alone the fact that I know how harebrained my schedule is these days of like, it's so hard to predict what night I will have that free time to jump in and do stuff. I just don't want to be on the hook for that when I have other things coming up there. It's the fact that review season's kicking up right now that on top of that, I'm just not the shooter guy. So it's something I watch very much from the pane of glass. And I'm like, or the SpongeBob meme, everybody out there having so much fun. And I'm like, I'm glad you guys are. It's not enough to push me to make myself get back out there, but I'm glad you are having fun together. There's some other questions, some other things I want to talk, but speaking of having fun together, we have a great time over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get the show ad-free. You could write and be part of it. You could be a Patreon producer. You could get the post-show. We're doing another episode of Kind of Feudy, the hit Blessing Game Show. And of course, you could be watching live like Nicole is, like Mokoshona is, and of course, like Brian is. However, you're not watching on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now, are you? So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors. We are huge fans of NZXT here at Kind of Funny. And I got to say, these monitors, they're Andy Cortez approved, Kevin Coelho approved, and Tim Geddes approved because of their sweet 1440p resolution with 165 hertz refresh rate and 1 millisecond response hits. That sweet spot for gamers due to the balance of picture and performance. They're available in 27-inch and 32-inch curved displays, variable refresh rate support for all of the major GPUs. They provide an excellent gaming experience for any game genre. You can get the monitor just alone, you can get it with a stand, or you can get it with some pretty cool mounts. There's built-in software support with NZXT Cam that lets you control all your monitor settings directly on your PC. No need to mess with the clunky hardware menus to lock in your desired settings. They thought of it all. It's sold exclusively on NZXT.com. You can learn more about the NZXT Canvas gaming monitors at NZXT.co/kindoffunny. That's NZXT.co/kindoffunny.
Shout out to Uplift for sponsoring this episode. I've been using my Uplift desk for well over a year now. I love the thing so much, I decided to write a rap song for them.
The build quality is real good. It's made of real high quality wood.
They didn't ask for it. I just did it anyway. Getting my Uplift desk immediately improved my mood. Whenever I'm on shows, I'm standing up, I'm feeling a lot more energetic. And also, I kind of feel like I was just maybe creating some bad habits sitting down at a desk all day. I would move my legs up, I'd sit underneath my legs on my chair, and eventually all that stuff just created really bad back pain for me. Choose from laminate, whiteboard, bamboo, solid wood, butcher block, or even custom solid wood or laminate options. Uplift Desk won New York Times Wirecutter's Best Standing Desk from 2019 to 2022. And while I'm at it, I'm just going to give them an award as well. Best standing desk that I use in my bedroom from when they sent it to me until now. Uplift Desk have a 15-year warranty. They ship the same day you order with free shipping and free return shipping. So if you've been feeling the effects of sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, maybe you want some more energy in your life, maybe you want to do squats in the middle of a Zoom call or something, uplift your life. Go to kindoffunny.com/uplift.
Again, everyone wrote in to say, hey, friends. Chris wrote in and said, have fun with friends and don't get lost in the weeds. Destiny has slowly evolved into an MMO with an emphasis on custom class builds and modifications. But at its core, Destiny is a game with beautiful worlds to get lost in with your friends while enjoying a story that has been reaching its peak. I made some great friends through my 8+ year journey of playing, and the adventures are always better when you aren't alone. Follow your quest tabs, chase those god-tier weapons, and try out a raid. A Destiny raid is the ultimate Destiny experience.
That just gave me chills. That got me hyped. I want to hop back in right now.
I won't lie. Talking about Destiny does make me want to play Destiny. But then I even today, watching you guys play it with the light and dark stuff was fun. But it was like, oh, I remember this enemy. Oh, yeah, you shoot them in the little white pustulate in their chest to take them out rather than their head. I'm like, I remember this. I'm like, I don't know if I need to go back for that. I don't know if I want to jump back into that.
Greg, you say the word, because the other day when I was streaming with Nick, it was just me and Nick, because Mike was off doing something, and I ended up hopping into another strike that we had already done on his character, but it was one that I was like getting that familiarity. It was the first time that I had done something repeatedly,
sure,
in my time back with it, and I kind of just really liked that feeling of that familiarity of something that I've at least seen in the last month. So I am down to rerun stuff. The current dungeon we're running right now is, again, it's tough, it's challenging.
Which one is it? I don't think I've done this.
Prophecy?
Okay. I think I've only run Duality kind of in Grasp of Avarice.
So fucking cool. It's so, basically the whole idea of this dungeon is that if you are in the shadows and you kill an enemy, they will drop dark motes of light or little prisms, right? Those little triangle pyramids.
Sure.
You go pick them up and you have to deliver five whenever you collect them. If you are not in shadow, if you are in the light and you kill them, they drop light motes. So you're having to get the right things, but also be in shadow while there's an enemy trying to hit you who has a good vantage point on you. It's like, fuck, I'm not in the light. Get in the light, Nick. There's a guy over there. Get that guy and then get the fucking points and drop him, deliver him. It's a fucking blast, dude. It can be challenging and frustrating, but I'm totally back in the mode right now where it's like, I want to keep on playing Destiny. And knowing that there's good core content out there, knowing that right now isn't going to be a grind, is even more exciting for me. It's not like I played a whole lot and now I'm just going to grind gear for the next big release. I love the idea knowing that there's good story content out there, whether I know what the hell's going on or not. I really don't. But it's
do cool. I skip yeah. every cutscene? Yes, but it's cool. Still cool.
Yeah, it's well, cool. Cutscenes and the visuals are just absolutely insane.
I love that. I love jumping off of skipping the cutscenes and all this stuff into Alt Levi's comment. Alt Levi wrote in to answer my question on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and said, the honest answer is that you should not come back or start Destiny right
Damn.
Now. With so much of the story and lore permanently ripped from the game and the initial startup dropping you in at the beginning of its current arc's final act, it's almost impossible to begin now and form enough of an attachment without spending a decent amount of time looking through old YouTube vids and or wikis to get some idea of who, what, where, when, and why. Hopefully Bungie does something better with the future expansions to give a proper catch-up. But as of right now, the new light experience is close to useless. Then, on the other hand, if you just want to drop in and mindlessly gun down thousands of enemies with no care as to why, then go right ahead.
That's me.
And it sounds like that's the kind of funny experience.
But like that's also the reason why I've not felt compelled to go back myself, right? Like again, I started the Witch Queen. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? I started playing Beyond Light. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And when I think about all the things I loved about my 80 hours of Destiny at launch, none of it was story. Like the cinematics are dope as hell. For sure. The visuals are dope as hell. It looks great. It sounds great. But like I think about the time I spent with friends playing that game, right? And I think about the what Andy just described in terms of like, oh yeah, these mechanics and these systems to make the gunplay engaging in terms of collecting all these things, shoot these enemies in the dark. You have to shoot this enemy from like on top of a tree while swinging in order to make them drop.
Oh, George, the jungle banana. Tactic.
The jungle tactic, yeah. Like stuff like that. Playing Destiny is the stuff that made me go, oh shit, this is dope as hell. But that's the stuff that I think. You kind of have to dig for a little bit coming back to it, right? Like I feel like I might have to just skip through the cutscenes and go straight to that content to enjoy it more. But I like playing Destiny for the story right now, at least trying to get into it from the ground that I'm at, has been difficult to appreciate on that level.
And I think there's that for me. And then it's also when I start getting psyched up for that games as a service thing, it does become like, well, would I want to go back to this thing and try to learn it all, or should I go back to The Division? You know what I mean? Should I go back to something where even though I never will and it breaks my heart, but DC Universe Online, where I have this giant sink of hours where I'd love to go back and be part of that community and that thing again, but I know I won't because it would be the same onboarding process for DC Universe Online. Division, I think, is a bit easier because I kept up with all that and played through all the expansions, but it's always such a gamble with these things of how do you want to get in? What do you want to do? Right. I asked people as well. We've been talking about why you should come back. Right. What's keeping you from coming back? Right. Cameron Kennedy wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Says, I tried to get back in, but it costs quite a bit to get all the expansions. I doubt I can get my friends back in again. And it's very overwhelming trying to figure out what I should be doing. So many expansions over a sequel feels a bit like maybe they're catering to the hardcore dedicated fan base, which makes me hesitant about whether newer content would be for me anyway. This is something Barrett and I had run into before you guys, Saved by the Bell, the new class, did this. All right. Barrett and I, before Benjamin, before everything else, like, should we get into Destiny? Yeah, we should get. And we jumped in, had no fucking idea what we were doing, didn't play with an experienced player. And then we're like, this is supposed to be awesome. We clicked on it and it was like, all right, cool, pay $20. And we were both, oh no, we're not gonna do that. All right.
We forgot that at that point, I think everything else was free through Game Pass, I think.
Yeah.
And we were playing on PlayStation, like a couple of jabronis, and yeah, that was a disheartening night because we were riding high. There must have been another trailer or something that like came out, and both you and I were like, we're playing Destiny 2 tonight. And we played roughly 20 minutes of Destiny 2.
Do you think where are you guys at in terms of does that happen to us with Lightfall? Not in the sense that like it'll cost or whatever, because I'm sure we can get like codes or whatever to hop in, but in the sense that like that trailer that they dropped, I guess last month was it now? That trailer looked dope as fuck. I don't know if you guys remember of like people legitimately swinging from like these strips of light. It looked like a cyberpunk city environment type deal. Looked really cool. That was the catalyst for I think all of us probably getting back into Destiny to some extent. Do you think Lightfall will be the one that gets us all in on the ground floor and makes us like gets us involved, or do you think there's a chance of us falling off because the story doesn't hit for us like it might hit for the hardest of the hardcore of Destiny?
I'm stoked to check it out. Like I'm gonna be there for that, especially knowing that my habit with Destiny was always hopping in on the ground floor of a new expansion, because I feel like maybe it's the mentality I have of like, well, if everybody's lost with me, then I don't feel as bad.
The great equalizer.
Yeah. Nobody else did the essay, so I'm happy that I didn't do it either. But I think just the visuals of that and it looking completely different and not even looking like Destiny. That trailer was showing, and I remember Tim coming back from the restroom break and being like, damn, this looks like some Destiny shit. What
knock
is this?
Off Destiny. Yeah, this
looks like we're like, Destiny. No, it's Destiny. No, like, Destiny. It's a completely like sort of cyberpunk vibe. Just they're going for a completely different visual palette, which is exciting, especially considering that I feel like I am experiencing so many different visual palettes as it is right now. And it just seems like it's going to continue and continue. Like once I finish, I think I've played enough to where I've decided I want to at least do the raid. And once we do that, I'll probably hop out and then come back for Lightfall. Like, I'm not the type to ever stick with a games as a service game once you kind of knock out the big activity, you know?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I will say, to talk about like the cost of jumping in, it is like wildly expensive because it took a while from when I hit you up to when Bless and I got codes. So I ended up buying everything on Steam. And then
we bought stuff. Nick bought the codes and he was like, wow, that was pretty expensive.
Maybe I should have waited for Nick to buy things. I wouldn't have had to pay for it. But
well, Joey, now think of it this way. Now you're doing content about it, so expense it. There you go.
Oh,
you're
done. Perfect. Expense right there. Yeah.
You could have asked for codes. I could have got you codes, guys.
But even now it's dumb because I started one mission when I was playing on Steam, but since all my friends play on PlayStation and everybody wants to be in a PlayStation party, I had to get it on PlayStation. But I guess lame. There was one thing that I didn't get a code for on PlayStation, so then I had to buy it. I'm like, I hate that I've bought this like now multiple times on the same like Hunter account essentially, but now I can't access it unless I'm playing on that platform. It's annoying.
Understandable.
I do think that we all, Joey, I understand if you want to abandon us. I'd love to have you, but I don't want to do the thing where it's like, oh, Joey, you got to be in our raid group too, because we know that you have a lot of friends in the What's Good Guardians group.
Oh, you want me to ditch out of there? Clan?
I'm not saying that, like, you know, Joey, I'm insanely good at games, but yeah, I think you should maybe want to, like, damn. Don't you want to be with a winner?
He's
over here?
He's gonna dunk on Andrew Renee. Like,
can't we?
Wild.
Not all to mention Andy also is just like, clans? I think I'm going to do the raid and bounce till February. But he's also like, hey, quit all your, stab all your friends in the back and then come to me.
This is so why finish, so in do New the raid World, I didn't join on your guys' server. None of these games that like I ever play with Kind of Funny People, because I know that you guys are out in 2 weeks and I'm going to want to play more.
Yeah, but guess what, Joe? I just updated the Kind of Funny Clan banner.
Oh, shit. But can't we do the raid if we're in different clans?
Yeah, but like, here's the thing.
Have the same cool nameplate.
Here's the thing. I think we all get into it. I think we all commit. Greg, what are you doing?
You don't have to convince me. I feel like I might.
Greg,
be the most
did you say my
one.
Name?
Yeah.
You think I'm at all leveled up enough to do this?
Neither was I.
No, but the onboarding process is great because they drop you like 1540 gear, so you're not having to like level from super low.
You just start off where you need to be.
I'm not saying we start the raid tonight. No, fuck no.
If y'all want to run me through any of the campaigns, just run
through it. I'm not even done. It'd be great if we could, but it's Andy and me and Joey are the three-person strike team.
Happens every single time.
No, here's the thing, Bless. I'm not even done with any of the campaigns. I think I'm halfway done with both Be Online and Witch Queen.
Andy, I'm doing it. I'm going to boot the PS5 right now and download.
Greg, don't download. I need a space.
But here's also the other thing, Bless. I'm the same as Andy, where now that I've run through the first half of both of those campaigns, I'm super down to run through them again now that I have an idea of it. I think that's kind of fun.
What y'all doing tonight? Got plans tonight. Tonight's not trivia, right? It's tomorrow.
Tonight we're playing. I'm saying.
Should I put up the OBS? Should I put up a Twitch stream? Are we gonna?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I've been having Streamlabs issues lately. No, it's unfortunate. But
I'm down to play tonight.
Streamlabs is terrible.
Yeah, it's almost.
Do I maybe already have plans to play tonight? And will I ditch Jacob to play with you?
Oh!
Probably.
I'll be on later, so we could always run that kind of the stanky leg, as they call it, or whatever, where somebody swaps out.
I don't know if that's
what they call it?
No, nobody calls anything that.
I'm just saying it's what I've heard it's called. I don't know.
What the fuck you're referring to?
Destiny 2 downloading. It's downloading. There you go.
Anyway, for real, I do feel really, really embarrassed. I know we were talking about 2 weeks ago or maybe last week whenever Paris was on the podcast, but I was like, Paris, this game's fucking good, huh? this game is stunning, man. Every time, and I love that Chris Anka knows what I fuck with art-wise. Mm. As two incredibly professional artists, right? Me and Chris on the same level.
Design
and just vision, right?
Chris, you worked on Spider-Verse as well, right?
Yeah, I should. He'll be like, Andy, you haven't even gotten to the best part of it. I'm excited, dude. And I turn a corner and it's the most amazingly lit vista you've ever seen in your life. And it's just, damn, the game just looks way too good. And I'm, again, it just feels really, really fun to play. And it's a little bit of a thing you gotta get used to on keyboard and mouse because of all the different abilities and keybinds. And I'm used to. If you're playing Call of Duty or Apex or something, you have, here's your grenade or your offensive item, and here's your support item. But here there's a lot of extra things you kind of have to keep in mind, and it can get a bit frustrating. Today, Mike was driving us up the wall. He kept on fucking dying. He was so annoying. God, Mike was the worst today. We were riding on these ribbons with our, legitimately ribbons. Road. They were straight up just ribbons and connecting from one place to another. And we're on our little sparrows and he just kept on falling off. And Chris was like, just walk it, Mike. And he's like, nah, I got to ride it. He's just the worst, man. The fucking worst. And he was getting mad at us.
But he did res your asses a lot.
Oh, he resed our asses a lot. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Mike was clutch with the reses. But he's a tank. I have low DPS. Or low health.
Did you see the stats, Joey? I guess I don't know what class everybody usually plays as.
Warlock.
I'm a hunter.
That's why I was always top of the leaderboard.
Greg, did you say hunter or titan?
A hunter. I have a titan for the trophy, but I have a Taylor Swift hunter that I've been forever.
Got it.
I will say I have
a Destiny 1 character carried over Destiny 2, right? So it's
that shit was great when Joey helped me do that, transfer all of my info.
All your stuff back.
That was really helpful doing the big import. But I will say after my time with Destiny 2, I am even more convinced than I was back in the day when I said that I'd be a top 10 player in the world. I do think I'm there right now in terms of just
In the world.
Top 10 in the world, yeah.
That's Are you going to try and that's do that one worlds you, first for the next raid?
Yeah, Joe, exactly. And that Dado? One YouTube commenter who replied to me, more like top 10,000 is what you'd be. I was like, keep me joking, bro.
Your ass, dude.
You got your ass.
Why are you taking this nitro serious, rifle?
He was so serious.
I want to ask the question one more time and go around and get answers, but I did like this comment from the live Patreon chat. Omega Buster says, Greg doesn't really want to play unless it's to prevent blessing. Keep buzzing out of it.
Greg has played 30 minutes of Destiny.
Hey, I got the platinum more than you can. I wasn't sitting there going, oh, this trophy's too hard. I said, hey, can you carry me? And these people carried me to the hard stuff, and I didn't do it. So the question here was, should you start Destiny in 2022/ should you return to it? Joey, should you?
I 100% think it's worth it. I'm having a great time. I love that there's the content is so varied where like there's definitely stuff that I feel totally comfortable doing on my own if I'm just playing and like no one's available. And then there's really fun content depending on if I'm running with a fire team. Some of the seasonal stuff has like up to like 4 or 5 people. So like it can kind of scale depending on what everybody wants to do. And there's some really, really great communities of people that are like stoked to get more people into Destiny. So everybody's been really welcoming and stuff. I highly recommend it.
I accidentally picked up a patrol the other day, Greg. I was like, oh, I forgot you could like do these things. I thought like
go around the moon, pick up some iridium.
Yeah, like I just was so used to back in the day getting spin metal and all that. I guess I just need to take more time in it. But yeah, absolutely recommend it. There's so much content to get into. There's a lot of campaign stuff that you can do on your own. So don't feel like I need a team for this. But just know, like everybody wrote in, Beyond Light and Witch Queen. Further those storylines. Don't get lost and accidentally click on some other thing and go down a rabbit hole with another piece of content. Just keep on pushing forward towards that, the Beyond Light and the Witch Queen campaigns. And yeah, just
the seasonal stuff's really fun too, because it's all pirate themed right now.
The seasonal stuff, yeah, the couple of seasonal things I did do, Joey, I thought were part of the Witch Queen, or forgot maybe it was Beyond Light that we were doing, but those were insanely fun as well. Whatever you're doing, just stick with it and don't try to get sidetracked, because it's easy to get lost and kind of get lost in the sauce and suddenly you're 15% of the way through 5 different things. I would say like just stick with one thing and kind of like push towards that goal. But yeah, it's such a freaking fun game. They've really got something on their hands here.
This is one to watch. This Destiny might turn into something.
Keep an eye out for this one,
everybody. Bright future with Bungie.
I'm keeping an eye on it.
Do you think, have you gotten reignited? Does your soul still burn? Are you coming back to fire off some guns tonight?
You know what? I think my soul's burning. I'm thinking I'm back.
Here we go.
We've had a great conversation here about Destiny, but there's another game that's made a resurgence in Kind of Funny as of late. Andy found this one. He picked it a diamond in the rough last year. He picked it. He played it. Nobody wanted to play it because it's on PC and PC gaming's lame.
Yeah.
Blessing, you've been playing a brand new PlayStation game called Inscription. Have you enjoyed this?
Ironically, I've been playing it on PC. I've been playing it on the Steam Deck. But it coming to PlayStation was the catalyst for me being like, okay, more people are playing Inscription. Let me finally pick it up. Because it was a game that when it came out late last year, I knew it was my jam, but it was just one of those things where a lot of games are coming out. It was the fall. It was Game of the Year season as well. So I was like, I got to pick and choose. And I want to say I played, actually opening up the game on Steam again, it said I had played around 5 hours. So I was like, oh, I gave this a college try, and for whatever reason, I fell off of it. And I picked it back up, started playing it, and within, I'll say, 2 to 3 hours, I was fully in addiction mode, where for those who we're under a rock somehow and miss what Inscription is, right? It is this roguelite car building game where you're getting into car battles with a CPU, right? It's not multiplayer, it's just you against the CPU. And you're going through, it has like half car deck building mechanics, but then the other half is escape room, where at any point during this roguelite adventure that you're going on with the NPC, you can stand up from the table and then look around this room that you're essentially trapped in. And you go through, you can solve puzzles in the room. Some of the puzzles might unlock new cards for you. It has like a really creepy, really eerie vibe, and it's pretty cool. But getting back into the game this time, I think the thing that helped is that I already knew the base set of what the rules for Inscription were. So I can kind of like, I could wrap my head around that pretty easily. And then once I got into my first couple of runs with Inscription, my first run got through the first area or so, and then died to an enemy early on, right? Where I got into a card game, they killed me pretty easily. My second run through Inscription after that first death, I got to essentially like a final boss, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, there was like an interesting turn where I was like, oh shit, they're really doing things here. And I think I had hit up Andy, or I hit up somebody, and I was like, yo, Inscription is really cool. And funny enough, like, I hadn't seen anything yet. It was that thing where
you didn't know shit.
I didn't know shit. Like, I had played at that point maybe 6 to 7 more hours, and I was like, fuck, or not 6 to 7 more hours. I'd play like probably like three or four more hours. It was just me that evening being addicted and me being like, fuck, man, this is cool as hell. Like, I got to the final boss and then I died, and then I went back, and like getting back to that final boss and beating that final boss, that was probably to the 6 to 7 hour mark where I was like, all right, here we go, time to finish this thing. And from there, the game opened up in ways where I was like, I didn't know we could get here. I had no idea that, like, all of this was behind the veil of what Inscription was. And, like, Andy probably understands, it's one of those games where you want to gush about, you want to talk about everything that's amazing about it, but it's so hard to, because so much of it is about the discovery of what is going on in this room, what is going on with this card game, what is going on with these characters. And it is, it got me, man. Like, by the time I finished Inscription, because I finished it earlier this week, I have a total of 25 hours put into it. I finished it fully, and I am still playing it. I am still addicted to it. I'm still going through the roguelite stuff because I enjoy the card game that much. And I had a moment late into the game where I was like, I think this might be one of my favorites of all time. Like, this might be one of the best games. Yeah, this might be one of the best games I've ever, ever played. And it is going back to my game of the year 2021, I think it is my new game of the year for last year. Like, it is such a fantastic game in tone, setting, gameplay loop, the card building. I'm usually not that big of a card game person.
The only
card game person, or the only card game I've heavily gotten into, has been Yu-Gi-Oh growing up, and like, I still play Yu-Gi-Oh every now and then, but like, I've tried Hearthstone, I've tried other card games, and it's hard for me to get into. Inscription is one that I am shocked. I am utterly shocked how into this card game I am, that I can't stop playing it. And that's why I actually hit up I hit up Tim being like, yo, how can I get in this Marvel Snap beta? Like, I want to try more card games now because of Inscription. It is such a wonderful game. And I'm sure, like, Andy, I heard you talk about it last year, but are you basically where I'm at now, where, like, I was, like, fucking infatuated with this thing?
Yeah. Inscription was a game that I knew a lot of people loved, and I knew it had a lot of Game of the Year hype. So at the final hour, what do they call it, Greg? The something hour? The golden hour? The golden shower.
11th hour. Yeah, the 11th hour. 11th hour. You're completely.
At the 11th hour, that's where I was like, I want to beat this game. I know I'm close to it. And I pushed through and had my mind blown in a million different ways and at a million different times. And it reminded me a lot of kind of that feeling that Outer Wilds gave me. That same sort of like vibe where it takes twists and turns that you aren't not expecting at all. And it was Inscription that we had already given our top 10 games of the year to Barrett, and then I hit him up and was like, hey, change this.
Change everything.
Take Guardians of the Galaxy out and put Inscription at number 5 for me. Above, I think, like, Forza at that time or whatever
Halo
it was.
Infinite. I have the lists up now.
Above Halo Infinite. Yeah, game blew me away. Again, much like what Blessing said, for anybody who's like, oh, I don't like card games, neither do I. I've never fuck with strategy games or card games. It took a bit, it took like maybe 4 runs for me to be like, this is how you play the card game. Okay, I'm just really bad at strategy. I was struggling grasping the rules, but it picks up and it starts to get cooler and cooler and more wilder and wilder as you keep on going. And again, I don't want to gush and kind of spoil anything, so just please experience it, because it's something that you will not regret.
And talking again about, you know, me hopping into it late, I'm kind of glad that I waited, because I think Inscription is the Steam Deck killer app. I think it is an amazing game to play on Steam Deck.
Sad it wasn't on Switch, dude.
Oh my god, like, it is such a fantastic game. Like, I had this weekend I played through it, right? And this all I did this last weekend was play Inscription. I was obsessed with it, but it was that thing where I would be in bed, like, just tired playing this game because I can't stop playing it. I'd put it down, go to sleep, wake up, and immediately pick up my Steam Deck in bed and continue to play Inscription. It was one of those ones for me. And the way it controls on, because you basically have to use the touchpad on the Steam Deck, because of course the Steam Deck comes with the left and right touchpad. I never thought I would actually use the touchpad for a game. I thought it was just there for show, right? It was one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, I never used the touchpad on my DualSense or my DualShock. I'm never gonna use this fucking thing on my Steam Deck. It was the main way to control Inscription, and it worked surprisingly well. Like, it was it was very smooth to use, it was very accurate to use, and like, it took a little bit of my mind getting used to it, but after about an hour or so of playing and getting used to the control scheme, like, now when I go back to play Inscription, it is like clockwork, where I am, all right, get this card, put it there, and my turn, I press an A, boom, boom, and like, it's very snappy with the Steam Deck, and I would probably actually now prefer playing this way as opposed to sitting at my desk playing it on my computer. So I'm putting it up there as like a Steam Deck. If you have a Steam Deck killer app segment, it's up there, it's in there.
It really bummed me out that it wasn't on Switch, and I tried my darndest to get it running on my phone, but it required a keyboard. I tried to get it running on my phone with GeForce Now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It worked and it popped up, but it wouldn't let me use the virtual keyboard. And I was so heartbroken. Much like Loop Hero, when Loop Hero came out at the beginning of 2021, I was really hoping that that was going to be on mobile immediately or on Switch, and it never came to anything like that. So
I mean, I don't Andy had an addiction to that game, and I don't know if you needed that in a mobile sense, because
to Loop Hero or to
Loop Hero,
but I could have just been in bed. You know what I mean?
That's really where I'm at with now. I'm ending every single day with a game inscription, because like when you beat the game, they have like a kind of a, I don't know if it's endless because I'm not gone to the
just
end.
Play the mode. Yeah, just play. Yeah, the card
they just
game.
They have like just play mode, and they have like challenges and modifiers that you can do, and I think you can unlock more modifiers. So now that's what I'm doing. And I think they've made the game harder
They updated it. They updated it with like extra cards and extra kind of abilities. I think that was maybe when it released on PS4 or something like that. But I just like, yeah, thinking about the way those sound effects, like, it's so satisfying.
And like the game ups the ante too with this presentation in moments where I'm like, I can't believe this game looks this good. And it's a card game. Like, it's just a card game. But like, they find ways to really make it have moments, make it really make it stand out in certain parts. But yeah, like I love that too. When I'm going back to do just the regular challenge stuff and play through the roguelite stuff regularly, it's harder, but also like it works for what it is. Because when you're playing through the original campaign, that game kind of wants you to cheat at it. This is the thing I was telling Janet during the last PS Love You, where I'm like, there are moments where that game, I swear, it wants you to like find ways to get around it. And like as I play, I'm like, oh yeah, like the actual campaign mode is so smartly constructed, just in terms of the things they give you and the things they do to make you think that you're breaking the game. And then you get to the challenge mode and it's like, no, like we know what the balance of our game is. We want you to break it in that original moment to like get through this stuff easier, because there's so much behind the curtain to it. But yeah, shout out to Inscription. Everybody go play it. It's a must play. Pick it up on whatever platform. But if you have a Steam Deck, pick it up on Steam Deck, because it's pretty rad on Steam Deck.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, it's better with you, so head on over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where, of course, you can watch us record the show live. You can write in with your questions, comments, concerns. You can be a Patreon producer. You can get it ad-free. You can get the hit Blessing Adioye game show, Kind of Feudy, which we're about to do right after this is the post show. Of course, if you have no bucks toss our way, don't worry about it. Each and every week, we come together to talk about all the things we love and sometimes don't love in video games. You can get on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. If you want to go the extra mile, support us on the Epic Game Store with the creator code Kind of Funny, or in Rumbleverse when you're playing on your PlayStation, or in Fortnite on your Switch, or Rocket League on your PlayStation. If you're using something that can use the Epic creator code, toss it on in there. Even if you're just downloading it for free, it still helps us out. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a post show to do. It's called Kind of Feudy. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.